Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. We are here on a Monday following the end of the National Football League regular season to look back on everything that we saw from the regular season finale weekend, the playoff spots that were secured, the seeds that were clinched around the NFL postseason, even the draft order for 2025 and this upcoming April, and all that is happening with the big breaking news of a day in NFL circles known as Black Monday, a day that many an NFL head coach might be looking for a new job. All of that here in this next hour up until 1 p.m. Eastern. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. And Joe, there is so much to get to here on FFC.
Yeah, what a great week of NFL action yesterday, right? Final regular season game. We had a lot of meaningless games and a lot of games that really took precedence, including the Sunday nighter in Detroit. We saw a battle for the number one seed in terms of the NFC, and it lived up to the billing in terms of the first half of that matchup, right? Second half, Detroit dominated from a defensive perspective, pulls away. But all these games were in right down to the wire. The upsets, Carolina over Atlanta. You saw New Orleans push Tampa Bay potentially into the fourth quarter. Those games were great yesterday. And we see now, too, names being mentioned for not just head coaching jobs. Names like David Shaw with the Saints, but how about Arthur Smith with the New York Jets as OC? I don't even have a head coach, and they're worried about an OC. Amazing. Typical New York Jets, Ben.
The coaching cycle is spinning around the National Football League. That we know for sure. On our show today, we will recap the entirety of the final weekend of the regular season, its significance for a playoff race or that chase of the number one overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, what the postseason looks like around the NFL in either conference, and of course, the head coaching carousel now in the NFL. Joe, when it came to the end of this regular season, game 272, the true and final regular season finale around the National Football League in Detroit between the Lions and the Vikings, entering and on paper as good of a regular season finale as one could ever dream of with all the stakes on the line. The winner, the one seed in the NFC, the champions of the NFC North. The loser, the top wild card seed, and a trip on the road to start off the postseason. So, Joe, with all of that on the line, it was the Lions prevailing on Sunday night at home. 31-9, the victory for Detroit. The Lions cover as a 2.5-point home favorite. They end out the year 11-5 against the spread as the favorite side this season. And Joe, one of the highest totals we had seen in nearly half a decade in the NFL, closing at 56.5, stayed well under. A Detroit team, a Detroit defense that has been so banged up with key and significant injuries throughout the year, put on a marvelous defensive performance last night against Sam Darnold and the Vikings to win 31-9.
Yeah, Aaron Glenn and that defensive staff did a fantastic job. They held Minnesota to field goals and not touchdowns. And we saw Sam Darnold become mortal, right? The previous week, he throws for 377 against the Green Bay Packers. This game, he was under 225, limited short to underneath throws, underneath coverage. And that front seven and even the blitz packages that they utilized got pressure early and often, and Sam Darnold forced the football out of his hands quickly. And again, when you run the football, Jahmyr Gibbs over 100 yards, right? They held basically a four-point halftime lead, 10-6. They extend in the second half. This was a team, Ben, entering that game, was 6-2 at home, Detroit. They had won those games by an average margin of victory of 18.8 points per game. But the last three games at home, lost to Buffalo, won narrowly against both Green Bay and Chicago. They were on display last night, deserving of the number one overall seed. Great job by Dan Campbell and the crew.
Entering last year, the Lions as a franchise had failed to win a divisional championship for three decades. Now they've won two straight in the NFC North. And for a franchise hoping to make even more history with a deep playoff run, having the one seed is important, critical, and in fact, historic. It is the first time in the history of Detroit's football team they will be the one seed in the NFC. They'll get home field advantage. They'll have to play inside Ford Field. No outdoor trips throughout these cold months of January into early February. And Joe, the path to an NFC championship runs through the Motor City. Beyond that, a Lions team that had the back end of their season defined by those key injuries now gets an additional week, the bye, to rest up, as well as the one seed in the NFC. Just a huge game for Jahmyr Gibbs. 28 total touches, 170 scrimmage yards, four total touchdowns, three on the ground. The only passing touchdown of the game, Jared Goff to Jahmyr Gibbs. And Joe, on the other side, Detroit entered this game in its last four, allowing 32.5 points per game on average. A Lions defense wrecked by injury. How would they fare against Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, Cam Akers, and even Aaron Jones healthy, playing at an elite level? They held that Minnesota offense down. The worst game of Sam Darnold's year in the Twin Cities. 18 of 41, his season low completion percentage, 166 yards, his season low in terms of yardage output. It is why the Lions are the one seed in the NFC and the Vikings are the five.
Yeah, it really changed, I want to say, after the Vikings' first possession of the second half. What happens? Cam Akers rips off basically a 50-yard run. They're inside the red zone opportunity. They go for it on fourth down. They don't get it yet again, right? They roll the dice. They don't get it. They force Sam Darnold into a bad throw. And from that point on, Detroit just took over from an offensive perspective. Again, they limited Justin Jefferson. They limited Aaron Jones. All of those playmakers. Hockenson, only two catches for 9 yards. That was a great effort by that secondary. And again, Aaron Glenn for dialing up blitz packages, making Sam Darnold feel uncomfortable, not giving him time to locate those wide receivers. It was a great defensive game plan. Now, can they maintain that throughout the number one seed? Because, you know, you look at it, great, they're at home. But both of their losses this year, in fact, came at home, not on the road. So you can never say never when you look at the two losses to Buffalo and Tampa Bay. We'll see if the Bucs are there. But just a great effort by Dan Campbell, deserving head coaching, you know, of the year candidate, him and O'Connell. But to get back to the number one seed, to be in striking distance, dominant effort last night.
And at the end of the regular season, where things stand currently, the Lions are the favorites to win Super Bowl 59. Detroit as a franchise has won NFL championships, but back in the late 1950s, never in the Super Bowl era in the modern day of the National Football League, certainly not since the merger in 1970. So the Lions hoping home field advantage and being in the Motor City is enough to pull off a historic playoff run. The Lions have never even played in a Super Bowl, let alone win a Lombardi Trophy. Joe, meanwhile, for the Vikes, they will be on the road exactly 1 week from today, a Monday night to end out Super Wild Card weekend against the Rams. Minnesota, 2.5-point favorite, even on the road in Los Angeles. Does your view of the Vikings change at all after the result last night?
No, I mean, again, is Sam Darnold that guy? We'll see. You know, he needs to bounce back with a better effort, if, you know, long-term for the Minnesota Vikings. But again, I still believe in this team. Was it, you know, their best effort? No. But again, think about how they rolled off. They had won 9 straight heading into that game. So again, that might be a positive for the Minnesota Vikings. Now that they got the loss out of the way, they could regroup and make a playoff run.
I don't think the Vikings are nearly as bad as they put on display last night in Detroit, although the sweeping reactions will be there. How the rest of the postseason formed in the NFL. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It all came down to game 272, the regular season finale in Detroit, to decide the NFC North champion and the number 1 and 5 seeds in the NFC playoff picture. The Lions win, the NFC North take home the 1 seed. The Vikings will be the 5 seed, that top wild card team in the NFC playoff picture. How about the NFC South coming down to our final Sunday of the regular season? It should have been rather simple. The Buccaneers more than a 2-touchdown favorite at home against the New Orleans Saints. Tampa, an outright victory, claims the NFC South for a 4th consecutive season. If for some reason the Bucs were to falter and the Falcons beat the Panthers, then Atlanta could win the NFC South. Joe, we start with Tampa. I said it should have been simple. It was anything but ultimately, the Buccaneers win a divisional crown for a 4th straight year. 27-19, the victory for the Bucs against the Saints. New Orleans does cover as that 14.5-point road underdog. But it was New Orleans up by double digits, 16-6 at the break before Tampa rallied in the second half. And Joe, when they held down the Saints offense in the final minute as New Orleans was trying to make it a game, the Bucs got the ball back, and instead of kneeling it out to let the game expire, they had to get some incentive and historic money to Mike Evans. 9-yard completion to Mike Evans that put him over 1,000 for all 11 years of his NFL career, 11 consecutive, matching a record set by Jerry Rice, and $3 million to boot. Overall, not a cover, but a very ceremonious day for the Buccaneers in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. If you took the dogs yesterday, you were rolling in cash, right? You watched that game play out. What was it, 16-3 at one point? New Orleans had a lead. I mean, it was amazing. And knowing how New Orleans had played the week before against the Las Vegas Raiders, where they were just gutless from an offensive perspective, they get abused 25-10. To go on the road, it looked like Tampa should have ran away with it. And all of a sudden, New Orleans hit them in the mouth, right? They build the first half lead. But credit Baker, credit that offense. They hit some big plays over the top to Jalen McMillan when the score was 19-13. They get the lead, and then once they got the lead, they never surrendered. And that's what you want to see from a playoff-caliber team. They were deserving, in my opinion, to win the division. They got, you know, derailed with the Evans and Godwin injuries early, but they were clearly the more complete team throughout the regular season than the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, Joe, it's a really good point, by the way, from what you just mentioned on Sunday for the idea of motivation in a regular season finale that looks very different than every other handicapping weekend in the NFL. If there was a team that needed either to win a game for playoff spots, to earn a berth, or playoff positioning, that being a different seed line against a team that did not need it, and thus that team booked either as the underdog or, in the case of the Jets, a slight home favorite. The team that did not need anything in terms of playoff significance was 5-2 against the spread, including 4-2 ATS in those 6 games as a dog, like we saw out of New Orleans. Ultimately, the Buccaneers hold on. They claim the NFC South. They will be the 3 seed in the NFC playoff picture because the Rams, as Sean McVay has told us, if the Rams don't need to win a game, if it seems even remotely meaningless, he is going to rest his starters. So LA did not play their key players on Sunday at home against Seattle. The Seahawks, a 7-point favorite, do not cover, but win 30-24 as Geno Smith throws for a career best 4 touchdowns. And Joe, because of all the incentives on the line for Geno and Seattle on Sunday, 10 wins, yardage, touchdowns, Geno Smith cashes in with a win to end the year, not a playoff berth, but at least nearly $6 million in contract incentives.
Yeah, he needed, 185 and like I think 1 or 2 touchdowns to hit those. He throws for 225. And again, you were hoping out of that, out of Geno Smith in the middle part of the season when they played teams like Green Bay, right? And even played teams like LA down the stretch in their building. They couldn't pull those games out, and it's unfortunate. First good year for Mike McDonald. You know, Seattle was a middle-of-the-road team. Yeah. I don't think they're elite like some of the teams that we've seen, obviously Detroit, Minnesota. But they're a team that potentially could build in terms of 2025. You didn't see, obviously, the playmakers step up, JSN or DK Metcalf. It was Noah Fant. But again, for McDonald, the first-year head coach, to have 10 wins and see the defense at least elevate to an above-average unit, that's what you want in terms of your first year as a head coach.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. And the Seahawks did clinch a 12th consecutive or a 12th winning season in the last 13. Seattle, the only team to reach double-digit wins in the NFL, that being 10, and not earn a playoff spot. What ultimately cost the Hawks this year in front of the 12s, where often it is a very vaunted venue, they were 3-6, 7-1 on the road for Seattle. But, Joe, I mentioned elsewhere in the what? Yeah, it is.
No, I'm just saying, when you see a team that's 10-7 and they're 7-1 on the road, you would think that they would be a playoff caliber team. They just couldn't win at home, which is completely ironic.
It is insane, Joe. All 7 teams that made the playoffs in either conference had at least double-digit wins. No 9-8 wild card or divisional winners. So 15 in total had at least a 10-7 record, Seattle being the 15th and only that did not make the postseason. Joe, when you look at where things were around the NFC South, the Buccaneers needed to win to claim the division in a playoff spot. Because they do so and the Rams lose at home, Tampa the 3 seed, they'll host the Commanders on Sunday night. Again, the Rams the 4 seed, they will host the Minnesota Vikings as a slight home dog on Monday night to end out our 6 matchups of Super Wild Card Weekend. There was a time where Tampa was trailing, of course, New Orleans, where it seemed like the Falcons might have the door wide open to win the NFC South, but Atlanta needed to at least beat the Panthers. They couldn't even do that. Carolina in OT wins 44-38 in Atlanta outright as a 7.5-point underdog.
There's one word, gutless, and I've said it all year long. This was not the team that everybody thought. We anointed the Atlanta Falcons as being the dark horse with Raheem Morris. This was Arthur Smith 2.0, and this team never stepped up in a big spot, and they deserve not to make the playoffs.
Yep, certainly so. The odds-on favorites after the acquisition of Kirk Cousins in the offseason. He didn't even end the year as the starter, and Atlanta missed out on the playoffs with a losing record. More on Football Full Circle next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
How the NFC South was won on the final Sunday of the NFL regular season. It wasn't easy for the Bucs. They come back from a double-digit halftime deficit to edge out the New Orleans Saints to claim the NFC South divisional crown for a 4th consecutive season. The Falcons had a chance, but they needed to beat the Panthers. Atlanta could not even do that. The story, Joe, as we said, is the Falcons' failure this season. An odds-on favorite to win this division, a perceived contender in the NFC with the offseason acquisition of Kirk Cousins. It was anything but. But outside of Atlanta's struggles this year, what a season it was for Bryce Young. The number one overall pick from 2023. Struggled during his rookie campaign. First year under Dave Canales, was benched by the end of the opening month after an injury to Andy Dalton, returned as the starter for the final 10 games for Carolina. They won 4 as an underdog in 9 of the 10. They covered seven times. And Joe, yesterday against the Falcons, 251 from Young, three touchdowns through the air, two more rushing touchdowns. What an end to a season it was for the Panthers, where it almost feels solidified now that Bryce Young is the quarterback of this franchise moving forward, and they can build with some offseason optimism.
Yeah, absolutely. And their preseason total was 5.5, so right under that. Yep. But they played much better in terms of the submission of Bryce Young in terms of the offense, right? He struggled early on, but then when he got back involved, he almost led upsets against the Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City yeah. Chiefs, and that's what you want to see, right? He's elevated his game. This was his best performance, but I believe it's his only three touchdown performance in his career. I know because I've been betting it from week to week. He had two touchdowns, throws for over 250. You want to see, obviously, some other playmakers outside of Adam Thielen. Jalen Coker steps up with a huge performance yesterday, but you need a pure yeah. number one. That is the biggest thing for this offense in Carolina. Let's build out the weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Let's add some additions, free agency yeah. on the defensive side of the ball. And who knows, you know, from an offensive perspective now, they could go toe-to-toe with Atlanta and certainly with some of the other teams like New Orleans. I don't know if they're as elite as Tampa Bay just yet, but they could build out in the offseason.
Absolutely so. A great end of the year for Bryce Young and company in Charlotte in year number one under Dave Canales. So as we shared, the Lions are the one seed. The Eagles already clinched the two seed a weekend ago. And yeah, they beat the Giants 20-13 in the regular season finale in Philadelphia with their backups covering as a 3.5-point home favorite. We'll talk more about the G-Men and New York's future a little bit later on. The three seed is Tampa. The four seed is LA. The five seed, courtesy of a loss in game 272, the Vikings. What about the 6-7 in the NFC? Again, it should have been relatively simple. Washington in pole position. Nearly a touchdown favorite at the start in Dallas. The Commanders win. They claim the 6 seed. Washington trailed, Joe, through a good majority of that game. Jaden Daniels got the start for the Commanders, booked as a 6.5-point road favorite, but did not play much outside of the opening quarter. So Marcus Mariota had to lead a comeback for Washington. The Commanders got the ball back with just over 3 minutes remaining. Mariota leads Washington on an 11-play, 91-yard touchdown drive that culminated in a 5-yard touchdown toss from Mariota to Terry McLaurin with just 3 seconds left. Washington wins 23-19. Washington earns the number 6 seed in the NFC.
Yeah, wheels Mariota, because I needed that game, okay? So it's 19-16. They have 33 seconds left. They have, I believe, a second down, and Mariota rips off like a 35-yard run to put them inside the red zone. They roll the dice with Kingsbury. He hits Terry McLaurin. Unbelievable catch. They win the game, stick the dagger in terms of the Dallas Cowboys, and McLaurin becomes, I believe, the most touchdowns in a season by a wide receiver for Washington. Dynamic effort. He only had 5 receiving yards, Ben, at the half. It was Zach Ertz. It was those secondary options. Once Mariota got in terms of the final drive, he looked at Terry McLaurin, and he stepped up. Let me tell you, 12 wins for Washington in year one for Dan Quinn. Amazing. I'll tell you this. To me, he's head coach of the year. To do it with that ball club, and more importantly, a rookie quarterback. I know O'Connell stepped up, but unbelievable job by that offensive staff yesterday and an all-around effort.
Terry McLaurin has been one of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL, but for the first 5 years of his career, never had consistent quarterback play. With Jaden Daniels, and even yesterday with Mariota, 13 receiving touchdowns. He had never had more than 7 in his first 5 years in the league. We'll talk more about the NFC and the AFC playoff picture up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
There was a moment in the regular season finale Sunday around the NFL where it seemed as though the Commanders might lose on the road in Dallas, opening the door for the Green Bay Packers to take the sixth seed in the NFC playoff picture. Important because you don't really want to head to Philadelphia to start off your NFC playoff run against the two seed in the Eagles. And Green Bay was trying, despite Jordan Love being out of the game early with an elbow injury against the Bears. In fact, in that bitter and heated rivalry on a cold day in Lambeau, the two teams exchanged 50-plus yard field goals in the final minute of regulation that decided the result. First, it was Brandon McManus drilling a 55-yarder with 54 seconds left to give Green Bay a lead, 22-21. But Caleb Williams and Chicago had the answer. This time, Cairo Santos was not blocked by Green Bay, but converted a 51-yarder as time expired to snap a variety of skids for the Bears yesterday, ending an 11-game losing streak against their bitter foes in the Packers' first win for Chicago in Green Bay since 2015, and just snapped overall a 10-game losing skid for the Bears during the 2024 NFL regular season. It wouldn't have mattered for the Packers because the Commanders won, but Green Bay does lose to Chicago with a sour taste in its mouth to end the regular season. The Packers will be the seventh seed, having to go to Philadelphia on Sunday to start off the postseason.
Yeah, and it erased that earlier loss in Soldier Field where they got blocked on the last play of the game to allow Green Bay to win that game 20-19, right? So it was a good effort for Chicago. You mentioned a 10-game losing streak. They were 0-7, Ben, on the road entering that game. So they pick up their first road win, which is amazing. They had lost those games by right around 8 points per game on the road this year. So you know, that's what you want to see. Go out on a positive note. I will say, if you, you know, and take the other side, you know, we won't look at Chicago as much as Green Bay. I'm concerned now because if you're back in Green Bay, Jordan Love, the groin, the ankle, now the elbow, you know, that's a cause of concern if this team's going to make a run. You don't want to expose your quarterback in that type of situation. But now he's got these nagging injuries. You've got to be concerned in terms of any type of playoff situation, especially if you're playing the Philadelphia Eagles. You're going to need Jordan Love's best effort. And again, he throws for 69 yards. You know, Christian Watson's been banged up. And look at the last four games outside of yesterday. He's only averaged 200 passing yards per game. Guess what? Green Bay, you need to throw for much more if you're going to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see how this plays out.
Jordan Love, a right elbow contusion is what the Packers are calling it. The pro football doc, Lisi's best friend, Dr. David Chow, came on the early line earlier today and said it was a funny bone issue. And had it been necessary, Love could have returned. He does not expect Jordan Love to miss any time throughout the playoffs. However, Christian Watson exited the game with a knee injury once again, more than likely out for an extended period. Not a great way for Green Bay to enter what will be a very difficult road test to start off the postseason in Philadelphia. The Eagles now a 4.5-point favorite. We'll talk opening round matchups a little bit later on. So that is the NFC playoff picture. Now over to the AFC. A couple things at stake in the regular season finale weekend that mainly, Joe, started on Saturday with our doubleheader in the AFC North. The Ravens closing as a 19.5 or 20.5 point favorite against Cleveland, needing just to win outright against the Browns at home, clinching the AFC North. Baltimore did that, and even with a cover, winning 35-10. Big game for Derrick Henry on the ground in that second half. The Ravens, Joe, an AFC North Divisional Championship for a second consecutive year, a 35-10 rout of the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, when you rush for 6.3 yards per carry, hold Cleveland to 3.2 yards per rush, win the turnover battle, guess what? You're going to have a dominating home win, and that's what Baltimore did. And when Derrick Henry runs and pounds the rock for over 100 yards, we know that Lamar Jackson's effective. I'm not saying, and Lamar Jackson has had a statistical phenomenal season. He throws for 217, two touchdowns. But there were moments in that game, and I said it to Donnie and Kevin, and I'll say it to you. He looked inconsistent at times. I'm saying fourth down decisions, again, inside the red zone. You cannot have that for Lamar Jackson. That is still going to make or break Baltimore's season. Can he make the right decisions? With the playoffs on the line, in terms of that type of situation, I need to see it before I believe it. They have been inconsistent at times, but that was a dominant home win.
And now it will be the story for the Ravens. The lack of playoff success Lamar Jackson has had in his NFL career, just 2-4 straight up. The Ravens, the 3 seed in the AFC North. Because Baltimore beat Cleveland big, the Ravens clinched the AFC North. So where things stand around the AFC playoff picture into that second game of the doubleheader on Saturday, the Steelers could no longer win the division. But when they win at home in a game against the Bengals, Pittsburgh could clinch the 5 seed. Important, you'd rather head to Houston than to your divisional foes in Baltimore. The Bengals needed to win and then had to have a lot of help on Sunday to keep their playoff hopes alive. Since he won, Joe, 19-17 on Saturday, Pittsburgh does cover as a slight 2.5-point home underdog. Chris Boswell made a field goal with about 2.5 minutes remaining that made that just a 2-point game. Since he ends the year, winners of 5 straight, but when you start 0-3, just too large of a hole, Joe, to climb out of. Can't blame the offense. 277 out of Joe Burrow. 10 grabs, 96 yards for Ja'Marr Chase. He hits the triple crown this year, leading the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. He is due for a big payday. But since his season is over, Joe, for the Steelers, losers of 4 straight entering the postseason. And because they lost, and the Chargers won on Sunday, as we'll detail in just a moment, Pittsburgh is the 6th seed and the largest underdog of the opening round of the playoffs, having to head to Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, and they got blown out by Baltimore about 2 weeks ago, where they caught 6.5, 7 points and lost 34-17. So that's not a good recipe. They're going to have to kick it up a notch. Two things. I think when you look at that game, bittersweet for Cincinnati. You wasted a magical season by Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but again, you can't lose opening week to the New England Patriots. You can't lose at home. At one point, you were 0-4, 0-5 at home. Unacceptable for a playoff caliber team. I don't care if they were narrow losses. You have to find a way to pull those games out. Defense was absolutely atrocious. And on the flip side for Pittsburgh, yeah, great. Russell Wilson, maybe at one particular time in the middle of the regular season against gutless teams, the Jets and the Giants, was able to statistically stretch defenses over the top. After he throws for 414 in the first matchup against Cincinnati, he's thrown over the last 5 weeks 856 total passing yards. That's only 171 yards per game. I'll ask you again, Mike Tomlin. Is this what you wanted when you elevated from, you know, Justin Fields to Russ Wilson? Because to me, Russ Wilson's absolutely atrocious, and the passing attack with Arthur Smith sucks right now.
I was going to say, who got the last laugh on the desk? Because we know that Donnie Wrightside is a big Russell Wilson believer. The Steelers won 6 of the first 7 starts that Russell Wilson made, scoring 26 points in 5 of those 7 at the very least. But in their final 4 losses, Pittsburgh, 17 points or fewer in all 4, 1-3 against the spread as well, all as an underdog. 4 straight L's. Again, the Steelers will be a 9.5-point road dog in the Charm City against the Ravens on Saturday night. It is the largest spread of the entirety of the opening round on Super Wild Card Weekend. So the Steelers do not win on Saturday night, which opened the door for the Chargers on Sunday afternoon in Las Vegas. Did the Bolts beat the Raiders and claim the 5 seed? Spoiler alert. Yes, they did. But how LA got it done and what it means for the playoff picture, that's next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. So, the AFC playoff picture, how it came to be with the results from the final weekend and what it means for the playoff outlook in the AFC. Lisi guy, because Pittsburgh lost at home on Saturday to the Bengals. The 5 seed up in the air, able for the Chargers to take advantage. That's what they did on Sunday in Sin City. The Bolts as a 6.5-point favorite against Las Vegas win 34-20, covering as nearly a touchdown favorite on the road in Las Vegas. And Justin Herbert, just a monumental day, 346 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Chargers end out the regular season, Joe, 10-2 against the spread when booked as a favorite. They beat up on the teams they were expected to beat.
Yeah, and again, that passing attack over the past few weeks, even though it's a bunch of, you know, no names, no big wide receivers outside of Ladd McConkey, have stepped up. Disley got back involved in regards to the offense. You also saw Quentin Johnson with 100 yards, I believe, right around halftime. He hits a big 50-yarder, another catch. He's actually catching the football. You play like that, you could definitely beat the Houston Texans on the road. It's going to be an intriguing matchup, because Houston, from an offensive perspective, has been a little inconsistent with C.J. Stroud. But you have a quarterback in Justin Herbert that is actually confident. That defense was opportunistic. They got turnovers when it counted yesterday against Aiden O'Connell. And again, this is a team that's 11-6 and 6-3 away from their house. They're a very good team, and we know Harbaugh most likely always has the coaching advantage in big spots.
Herbert, 281 yards or more in the last 3 games for L.A. Multiple passing touchdowns in 4 straight to end out the regular season. Only had 4 games in the first 13 for Los Angeles this year with multiple passing touchdowns. The Chargers started out as a ground-and-pound defensive team, under in 7 of their first 8. Now over in 7 of 9 to end out the regular season. L.A. will be on the road in Houston to start off our first of 6 matchups on Super Wild Card Weekend. And Joe, I mentioned how prolific the Bolts have been as the favored side this year, 10-2 against the spread. LA is a favorite in H-Town. The Texans winning their 10th game of the season yesterday in Tennessee against the Titans. We'll talk about that game and its implications for the NFL draft in just a matter of moments. So the Chargers, the 5 seed, the Steelers, the 6 seed. Although the Bengals did beat Pittsburgh in the Steel City, since he still needed a lot of help on Sunday, it was rather simple for the final playoff spot in the AFC. If the Broncos beat KC's backups as a double-digit home favorite in Mile High, Denver would claim that 7th and final AFC playoff spot. That's exactly what Denver did in a rout, shutting out Kansas City 38-0. The Broncos and Bo Nix cover as a 10.5-point favorite. But Joe, when you look at this Broncos team, entered the year with a win total of 5.5. Second year for Sean Payton, rookie season for Bo Nix at the quarterback spot. Anything but a rookie for a good majority of this season, and especially in that finale. 26 of 29, 321 yards, 4 passing touchdowns, was also Denver's leading rusher with 47 yards utilizing the legs. Again, the Broncos win big, 38-0, covering as a 10.5-point home favorite.
Yeah, and we know that Bo Nix can scoot, right? He had the 70-yard performance earlier in the year against the New Orleans Saints. We know about his mobility, but he's really evolved as a passer, right? And not only that, we know about Courtland Sutton being the number one option, but the emergence now in terms of the passing attack with Marvin Mims now being that explosive playmaker, you couple that with Courtland Sutton, now they're not so much one-dimensional anymore, and that offense has evolved and maybe is peaking at just the right time. So can they compete for an AFC championship? Personally, I don't believe so, because some of the other teams. But this is a great spot. And I was wrong about Sean Payton in regards to just this team as a whole. He's elevated them. He's done a fantastic job in coaching them to a playoff appearance in year number 2 with a rookie quarterback. I mean, the sky's the limit for this team moving forward. So we'll see what damage they could do in terms of the playoffs. Going to need to run the football a little bit better than what they did yesterday. But when you put up 38 points, it doesn't matter.
They have not run the football very well this year, but as a favorite, Denver 8-0 against the spread this year, covering by an average margin of better than 2 touchdowns per game. And this is not to toot my own horn, just to show what Bo Nix has done during his rookie season. Joe, I bet his season-long passing yards prop entering the year, the best bet I've ever made from a season-long perspective, 28.50.5. Sailed over by the time we got to week 14. He ends the year with 3,000 775, nearly over that preseason prop by 1,000 yards. Denver, a difficult path, though, as the 7. They got to head to Orchard Park to take on the Bills on Sunday afternoon. 8.5-point dog. A couple of big spreads in the AFC playoff picture in the opening round. Buffalo, 8.5-point favorite against Denver. Baltimore, 9.5-point favorite against the Steelers. And then the Chargers, a road favorite, a 2.5-point spread in favor of LA as they head to Houston.
Yeah, I mean, again, these spreads right now, I lean, and the one thing that stands out for me is the LA-Houston game. Because, again, yeah. Houston's offense with C.J. Stroud put up 19 points and 2 points. Yesterday, it was Davis Mills that got the win. I need to see C.J. Stroud and that offense elevate sure. in regards to the passing attack. Without Tank Dell and Joe Mixon, if he's contained, what can C.J. Stroud do at home? They've typically played to the unders at home. And when you see this 43.5, to me, Ben, I like the over in that matchup. Again, I think they're going to, you know, utilize the passing attack. Yeah. You got to score at least 24, I believe, to beat LA. So I like early on, I do lean to Houston and the over, but we'll see how it plays out. In regards to the Denver game, 8.5-point dogs against Buffalo. I can't go against Buffalo in that matchup. I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, the Broncos 8-0 ATS as a favorite, 4-5 against the spread as an underdog. And they have not been a dog often since the opening month and a half of the year when the odds had not really caught up. Denver has not covered much as of late as the underdog against better teams. Joe, already 86% of the money coming in on the Chargers. Could be a very public side if you want to back LA in H-Town. I know Joe Poe feels pretty good about that, but he's really Joe Mo. The NFL draft picture next on FS.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
The other results from the final weekend of the National Football League regular season and some news early on this Monday. Joe, to determine the number one overall pick for the 2025 NFL Draft, had the Patriots just lost at home to Buffalo, the Pats would be selecting first overall. But Gerard Mayo and Joe Milton, I guess, had other ideas. Joey Ems, 241. Touchdown through the air, another on the ground. The Patriots win outright in Foxborough to beat Buffalo. Because of it, the Patriots will now draft fourth overall. After the game on Sunday evening, Bob Kraft making his decision, firing Gerard Mayo after only 1 year in Foxborough, Joe.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Again, first year head coach, a complete rebuild, moving on from Bill Belichick, and he only gets 1 year and actually pretty competitive for the most part. I understand they didn't get the wins, but you developed Drake May to a point where at least he's serviceable to be the starter in terms of year number two. You got some wins that you didn't think you'd get this year, yeah, especially over Buffalo to end the regular season. And think about week one where you knock off Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, it's all about developing talent and rebuilding. But again, you know, will Gerard Mayo ever be given another chance? That's the major thing. You know, we've seen this with first-year head coaches. We saw it play out with Houston, with Lovie Smith and Cauley, where they got basically 1 year apiece. And that will happen to Gerard Mayo as well. It's unfortunate, but the owners get to make the decisions. We don't.
I'm not saying it's a direct cause and effect that Gerard Mayo won a game that the Patriots should not have to give up the opportunity to at least hold on to that number one overall pick, which led to his immediate dismissal. And I said 1 year in Foxborough as the head coach, but a longtime assistant under Bill Belichick won a Super Bowl as a linebacker for the Patriots as well. Apparently a former Patriots Super Bowl winning linebacker Mike Vrabel is at the front of the list to become the new head coach of this Patriots organization. So the Pats win when they shouldn't have. The Browns and the Titans lose. Tennessee will draft first overall, or at least have that number one overall selection. Cleveland 2. The Giants lost to Philadelphia. New York at 3. Joe, we heard from the G-men earlier this morning. Both Brian Daboll, head coach, and Joe Shane, general manager, set to return in 2025.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. This season was supposed to be the first season in terms of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane's career. It was just supposed to happen that way. They overexceeded. They beat Minnesota, and all of a sudden they regressed. This is the right move, what they did this year. But again, is Daboll the guy to lead this offense moving forward? I didn't see that. I didn't see the elevation from the quarterback perspective. We saw it in year number one. We've seen now weapons like Malik Nabers, Wandale Robinson. What do they do from an offensive perspective will dictate whether the New York Giants have their GM and head coach for years to come. Because even if they draft in the top five, and all of a sudden now they're 2-15 next year, both of those guys are gone, Ben. So they better hit the ground running
for sure
in 2025.
Currently slated to pick third overall, but it is becoming very clear in this draft class, there's really only two quarterback prospects that are going to be considered a top five, top 10, maybe even first round pick. That's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. So the Giants need a quarterback, but might not get the chance to draft a quarterback who could go 1 and 2, and both the Titans and Browns, Joe, need a QB as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the Giants, do you roll the dice and say we'll take Travis Hunter and we'll get a quarterback in terms of free agency, maybe a Sam Darnold? I'm just saying, like, or do you lure that type of – I mean, that might be their best option right now. I mean, they really screwed up in terms of where they are in this NFL draft class.
No doubt about it, Joe. They certainly did. Two games on the NFL regular season finale weekend that really did not have any significance for the playoff chase or the top of the draft order. The Jags are going to draft fifth overall. They made it competitive against the Colts in Indy yesterday, covering as a 3.5-point dog, but losing in overtime. The news for the Jags, Joe, the firing of Doug Peterson early on this Monday morning after 3 years in Duval County, but the retention. They are keeping Trent Baalke, the much maligned GM, for this Jags organization.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it, right, that they kept the GM and fired the coach. Again, you know, I think from a personnel perspective, Baalke has done a pretty good job in terms of amassing talent. It's just that I'm just not sure Doug Peterson elevated after year one with Trevor Lawrence, but he's going to get an OC job, no doubt.
Oh, by the way, the Cardinals did beat the Niners 47-24. A good ending of the year for Kyler Murray. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it today for Football Full Circle. Talk to everybody tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.